Married at First Sight. Chapter 4121. I'm so used to having him by my side, and now that he's hiding, I feel completely out of sorts. Catherine smacked her lips and added with a sigh, "If I want to kiss him, I have to do it in my dreams." Liberty was stunned. Seeing Liberty's speechless expression, Catherine smiled.
"What?
Did I just change the way you see me?" Liberty nodded.
"Yeah, I didn't expect you to be this kind of Catherine."
Catherine chuckled. "Pedro is way too serious and way too respectful toward me. If I hadn't taken the initiative, even after marrying him, we'd probably end up sleeping separately, and he wouldn't even dare to turn over in bed." Liberty thought about Pedro's usual stern demeanor. He only seemed like a normal person when he was around Catherine, but even then, he was still overly respectful and never crossed any boundaries.
"Well, you're still technically his lady," Liberty pointed out.
"Of course, he treats you that way. Once you're really married, things will change. But one thing's for sure, his love and loyalty to you are unquestionable." Catherine gave Liberty a knowing look and lowered her voice to ask a few private questions ones only a wife would know. Liberty, having been married twice, immediately blushed.
"If you really don't know, just watch a movie."
"I can't watch a movie now. Even searching online doesn't help, everything's been wiped clean." Liberty was speechless.
"Okay," she sighed.
"Look, the whole husband and wife thing happens naturally. You don't need experience. When the time comes, it'll all fall into place. And trust me, Pedro might seem like a stiff, but men are one way outside the bedroom and completely different inside it. You'll see." Catherine murmured, "It's not that I don't understand, it's just that I don't have first-hand experience. I was hoping you could teach me a few tricks to keep a husband under control." Liberty laughed.
"You? Needing tricks?"
"Catherine, with Pedro's level of devotion, if you tell him to go east, he won't dare to go west. If you tell him to walk through fire, he won't even hesitate." She softened her tone.
"You don't need to control him. Just be sincere, put your heart into your marriage, and trust him. Give him space, respect him. That's all it takes. If you do that, you'll love each other for a lifetime."
Liberty had no doubt that Pedro's loyalty meant Catherine would always have the upper hand in their marriage. As long as she respected him, their love would last. Catherine nodded thoughtfully.
"I get it.
I learned my lesson just by watching my parents' marriage. I won't suffocate Pedro. If a man wants to cheat, no matter how tightly you control him, he'll still find a way. And if he's truly loyal, then even if you don't monitor his every move, he won't stray." After a moment, she asked, "Liberty, when you marry Mr. Lewis, will you be managing all his finances? Will he get an allowance from you, or will you both handle your own money?"
"My mom never let my dad carry more than $500 in his wallet. According to Farrell family rules, the husband of the family head gets a monthly allowance of tens of thousands of dollars during the marriage, but my mother never gave that to my dad. He could only get money from his son or Shiloh."
Liberty smiled. "Duncan said he'd hand over everything to me. He told me that what's his is mine, and what's mine is still mine. But honestly, I don't have the time to manage it all, so we'll probably just handle our own finances separately." She added, "He randomly sends me money, red envelopes, transfers. He even wanted to give me his entire monthly income. But my net worth isn't even close to Duncan's. If Liberty hadn't taken over the Farrell Group and become its new leader, there would have been a huge financial gap between her and Duncan. Even though she had her own business in Wildspoon and lived in a villa, that villa had been half bought, half gifted to her by Zachary. If she hadn't insisted on paying for it, Zachary would have just given it to her and Sonny outright." Married at First Sight. Chapter 4122. Chapter 4122. Take your time.
You'll close the gap soon enough. I believe you have what it takes to lead the Farrell family back to the top. But let's set that aside for now. We need to tackle this work issue first. After discussing family matters for a bit, Catherine shifted the conversation to business. She handed Liberty the documents she had brought. The two of them went over the details and strategized how to resolve the issue. At noon, Duncan arrived early at the company, waiting for Liberty so they could have lunch together. Standing at the entrance of the office building, Catherine watched them leave, feeling a pang of envy. She missed Pedro. Even though he was still protecting her, he had gone from being openly by her side to operating in the shadows. She wasn't used to it. But to lure her three brothers into her trap, she had to endure it and wait. In her heart, she urged them to act faster. She didn't want to wait too long. Just then, Marco and his two brothers stepped out of the elevator, deep in conversation. When they spotted Catherine standing outside, they hesitated for a brief moment but quickly pretended not to see her. Without a word, they veered to her right and walked past her. A few moments later, three cars pulled away from the Farrell Group building. Catherine stood there for a while before heading to the parking lot. Her personal bodyguard was already waiting by the car. As soon as he saw her approaching, he rushed over. Another bodyguard immediately opened the car door for her. Meanwhile, after leaving the company, Marco didn't head to the Farrell Group's hotel for lunch. Instead, he returned to his private villa in Jensburg's high-end residential area. When he got married, his mother had purchased the villa outright, fully furnished it, and gifted it to him and his wife as their marital home. The property was registered in both their names. When Marco divorced Erica, she chose not to fight for the house. Given that they had been married for over a decade and had three children who all lived with Erica, Marco compensated her financially. His two younger brothers followed him home. As Marco approached the villa community, he noticed two men squatting near the entrance. The security guards were keeping an eye on them, wary that they might be troublemakers. The moment they spotted Marco's car, the two men quickly stood up, straightened their clothes, and tried to make themselves look more presentable. Marco stopped the car. They immediately walked over, their expressions eager and obsequious. As Marco rolled down the window, one of them said respectfully, "Master Farrell, we've been waiting here for a long time." "Call me Mr. Jansen," Marco corrected, his tone firm. "I'm no longer the master of the Farrell family." The Farrell family was no longer theirs. They had no right to set foot in the family estate anymore. Marco didn't want to be addressed as Master Farrell anymore. After all, his surname wasn't even Farrell. Back when his mother ruled the family, they had been at the center of power. But now, she was gone. The people who once flocked around them had long since distanced themselves. And even those who still stuck around no longer treated them with the same respect. People could be so fickle. "Get in the car." Marco unlocked the doors, allowing the two men to climb in. "Thank you," they said hurriedly before getting into the back seat. Marco then drove into the villa community. "How's Auntie doing?" he asked while keeping his eyes on the road. "Is she feeling better?" Both men in the back seat nodded. "She's doing much better. Shiloh has been gone for a while now, and my mother is finally starting to move on.